Hello and welcome to Exiled Eagles. Much like the Palace squad, we've been on the beach pretty much all season. So joining me today for the end of season wrap, we have Dale Quarty. How are you, Dale?
Good, mate. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We've both both recently recovered from COVID. We kicked his ass, go us. A very excited Queenslander up in the northern state there. Mark Werner, how are you, mate?
Mate, I'm good. And I did tell you, you will probably pass it on to each other if you continue to kiss. But that's fell on deaf ears, obviously.
We only kiss when, like, naughty kisses. Proper naughty kisses.
Lucky Lisa.
In all seriousness, mate, I'm up and about at State of Origin Eve or night tonight. So, very, very exciting time. But more importantly, end of season wrap on the pod here. So away we go.
Absolutely. And in one of the biggest upgrades ever seen on anything, podcast, theatre, film, TV, but we have replaced Ned with Tony King. Tony, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. Just call me Pod Hodgson. That's me. I'm coming in, joining out, end of the season. Have a nice little run in now.
That's it. Look, unfortunately, I do believe that Ned will be joining us at some point.
So, 6 minutes.
Sorry to bring everyone down at the start, but hey ho, you know. All right. So whilst we wait for it, let's have a chat. Obviously, it is the end of season pod, as we've all pointed out here. So let's start with kind of our season went. Like, we're happy with it overall. Did it hit your expectations where we were going to end, finish up 11th, obviously above Chelsea, which we all predicted at the start of the season, I'm sure. Let's come to Tone. Tone, how do you think the season went? What's your feelings about the season?
I mean, I don't think you can say whether it was a good season or a bad season, right? It's been absolutely everything. It's been the entire Palace roller coaster, whilst also just being sat in 12th place for the entire time, which is quite bizarre. I mean, I guess I'm happy at the end. I just was so disappointed with the whole Vieira thing, the way it all played out. I was actually quite sad, quite gutted, was frustrated with the Hodgson announcement. I thought Parrish had dropped the ball. And then I've just been absolutely delighted with the last 10 games. And yeah, I guess we finished the season happy. But, you know, I can't say it's a good season or a bad season. It's been a bit of everything.
I think that's really well put. Have anyone seen, you know, like the Premier League put that, the thing in with how the clubs move up and down, like, throughout the season?
Everyone's
have you
it,
seen
mate.
Palace 6-1? It's the chat. Best thing I've ever seen. did you? I don't pay much attention.
Oh, God. Like,
yeah, of course. I only pay attention if we're criticising referees, and then I am in. I am all in. Mike and Mark, what's your thoughts? How do you feel it went?
Yeah, it was a mixed bag, a bit of everything. Without really ever having any dizzying highs or gut-wrenching lows, whilst also being up and down. A lot of promise and potential at season start. I kind of thought, you know, Paddy V had the boys humming and was looking forward to a few of the lads kicking on, and just slowly but surely went south, and had to make the movements that we did, and all the while flatlining there at 12th for about 3.5 months. No harm, no foul in the end, I guess. Pat had to go. It kind of just organically worked itself out at the end. Roy came in, which was a very handy, you know, plan B or emergency stopgap. At the end there, that went pretty well. That put us all back in good spirits. I think even a lot of the Roy naysayers were happy to eat a little bit of humble pie at the end and just crack on. Probably yourself being one, Rob. It was a bit, you know, sort of meh, you know, if I had to rate out of 10, probably sort of 6, maybe 6.5. Bearing in mind, I mean, the odd thing is we only ended up, you know, 4 points off our best ever points tally finish, one position below our best ever finish on the table, you know, finished above Chelsea, the first time in the Premier League. There's lots of positives to take out of it, but yeah, I think it all went very different to how we thought it might have gone at season start.
Yeah, I think, I mean, for gut-wrenching low, losing to Brighton for the first time in donkey's years is a fairly gut-wrenching low, so I'll give you that. But yeah, like the mayor thing, you know, I'll come to you a second now, but the mayor thing is kind of like, remember we did a pod towards the start of the season and we're like, we were flying. We had ridiculous amount of points and we're like, does it even feel like we should have 20-odd points after, you know, 9 games? And all of we're like, no, we're not even that good. We're just kind of... picked up the points. Whereas last season, it felt like something had started. And this year, it was like, well, huh? It was kind of like, well, what's gone on? It was weird. It was really weird.
I agree. Because I remember people saying, oh, Palace are flying, you know, you're looking good. And I was a bit like, now we are flattering to deceive. Like, we haven't had any good performances at all. I know we won Villa, but there was a lot of wins there. We did not deserve it.
No, absolutely.
And ultimately, the funny thing is, it was our best ever Premier League start. I'd probably hasten it was our worst ever Premier League middle and our best ever Premier League finish. Right? And it's just like, so as the season goes, you take it. You know, if someone has said to you, when we were all down in Melbourne, we were Palace were down there, if someone has said, we're going to finish the season 11th above Chelsea, it's going to be really weird. You're going to win a bunch at the start, have a rubbish middle and win a bunch at the end. And Eze is going to be unbelievable being the England squad and all this sort of stuff. Really gone, yeah, all right, take that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a dream season.
It's just the way it's sort of gone about. And I think it goes to show, I think, for the Premier League that there is this big bunch of teams at the top who are always going to do really well and are going to impress. There's always going to be this rubbish mob down the bottom. And in between that, there's just going to be a bunch of teams who are just always just going to be sat in a position and move one place up and one place down. It is just, I mean, that is just the Premier League now. Like, well, that's how it was this season anyway. And we all got panicked because we were losing and we were going to get relegated. And in that time, I hate to coin Ned, but in that time, we moved no places down. But we were all really panicky because we were about to get relegated. But nothing happened. We actually went up a place. We went up a place. And it was, a very odd season. Very odd.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that, I mean, although we didn't move down a place, we didn't move anywhere when we went through that patch. All of a sudden, we had like a 12-point buffer to the relegation zone that went to 3 points, and we were on that. We were that club again. Yeah. Like, remember that Pardew season when we were third? So exactly. And it was like, well, fuck it, we don't need to win a league anymore. Who gives a shit? Let's just plummet down the league. Exactly what happened as well. For me, like, it's kind of been a season of the end of the season. What Hodgson's done, and as the other half of the brains committee here. With Dale on the Hodgson thing, hold my hands up, whoopsie, with my feelings there. But what he's shown is just that what could potentially what could have been this year. The two things, like if we had just kind of had Eze play where Eze's played and done, let him thrive and kind of built the team around him like Hodgson's kind of done. I know Will's been injured, but you know, let Eze thrive, play Elise out on the right. Let him skin players, not all this mixing and matching and, you know.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Right? Let's be honest. Whatever has happened in these last 10 games of Hodgson are the complete and utter outlier of the last 10 years of Hodgson. I mean, never in a million years did you think you were going to come in and start playing champagne counter-attacking like goal thirsty football under Roy Hodgson. Even though he said it was going to be a good appointment, would have said at best it would be sit back, soak up the pressure, and grab a 1-0 win. At best. So, like, what has gone on has been absolutely amazing and we love it, but it's the most unsustainable thing ever. Because if we keep playing like that, Roy will die. You will have a heart attack.
I certainly hear what you're saying, and with not wanting to sound like the world's biggest hypocrite and going to do the 180, is it because he, like, the football he played is because the hand that he was dealt for 4 years, where we signed no one, I know, you know, we got Strader Amiobi and Kevin Doyle in to help him out one season to play the champagne football that we wanted to see. Or is it you give him these the Elises, the Ezes, the Decores, the ball playing centre backs, the Gahees and Andersons, and he can actually let them rip? I don't know. So, yeah, without wanting to sound like the royal apologist that I have turned myself into, yeah. Oh, and just as we talk about a royal apologist, in comes the man himself.
What a time to join.
That's it.
What a time to join.
That's it.
I just walk in, all I've heard was Rob say, "I'm a royal apologist." It's lovely to be here. I can go now. Thanks.
Well, Ned, before you go, I'm just trying to figure out, where does your beard end and your turtleneck start?
That's a good point.
A turtleneck. It's just all beard.
Lovely.
You've come just at the right time. That we've all gone through kind of how we thought the season went. So we can pass over to you now. How's your thoughts on the season? What do you think on how we've performed? I think Tony put it best, but I'll let you find out when you listen to the recording how he said. But so what's your thoughts on how the season's gone and how we finished
firstly,
up?
Firstly, that's a very big assumption that I know I host it, but I definitely wouldn't listen to this podcast. I can't recommend that.
Good start.
Yeah, no,
lucky you're not in sales.
Professionalism at its finest. look, it's been a bulk standard Palace season, hasn't it? It's looked at some points like it was going to be terrible and then got resurrected. Usually we either look like we're going to be good and then turn to shit, or we look like we're going to be shit and then turns out all right. But, you know, bulk standard, finishing our traditional sort of, you know, upper lower end of the table, a little bit higher this year than we have last couple of years, which is a nice little finish. But overall, I think, yeah, good to see that we've, you know, got managed to get Eze and Elise sort of really firing at the back end there. If we can keep them and keep that going, that'd be wonderful. But yeah, look, I think it's what we all thought we were going to get at the start of the year. It's probably not what we all thought we were going to get once we hit the middle of the year. But I think, yeah, it's bog standard Palace.
Wonderful. Wonderful. All right. So before we go back to, we look at our pre-season predictions, of which I'm pretty sure I got everything right with my knowledge of football. who's like, Mark, how dare you? Obviously, we're not going to, unfortunately, for anyone listening, we probably, the chance of us podding again before the season starts is slim, because we just don't seem to do it. So let's talk about potentially the positions, maybe not the players, but the positions and obviously the manager that might come in over the summer and who we think will be going, apart from the two we know, Luca and Jimmy Mack are going. What do you think we need? So rumour has it that we've signed Jefferson Lerma on a three, which I think is a cracking bit of business if that is actually officially done. But there's some quite reputable journalists saying it is. So yeah, we'll go start with Dale. What do you think we need? Do you think it'll be another season of Roy? Do you think there is the rumour of the one year extension for Roy? What do you predict?
So first thing I'll say is Jefferson Lerma is not done. There are no rumours. The rumours are saying that we're in pole position to sign him, and an announcement could come in the coming days. And that's even from old mate Fabrizio Romano. So I think we'll just hold our powder on that one. Manager, again, I think Hodgson is the... If Hodgson signs a one-year deal, it's because no one else of our targets has agreed to come. So whether that be Potter, Huttler, Cooper, whoever, if it ends up being Hodgson, it's because everyone else has said no. Positional wise, I mean, okay, it's 2017. This is a Palace podcast, and we're going to say right back, left back, striker. I mean, look, no disrespect to any of the players there. Mitchell probably needs to be pushed a little bit, so left back would be good. And also, we need cover. If he gets injured, we're down. Ward and Klein, now look, I have said for a while about Wardy, I think he's ended this season superbly. He's been absolutely brilliant. It probably helps the end of the season has come against the teams it's come against, but you can only play who's in front of you, and I think he's been great. If you're going to give Klein and Ward new contracts, which I think they have, there won't then be another right back coming. Rumours are Mateta wants out. All right, no worries, mate. I'll pay for your Uber. So we do need another striker regardless. Obviously, old mate Rakitić or young mate Rakitić had a good season at Charlton. People are talking about him coming in. Probably not ready to take on the Premier League just yet. So, yeah, and if Wilf goes, yes, Jordan Ayew on that left-hand side, but then you're probably going to need someone to cover Jordan Ayew, which might be Rakitić, but who knows. So, for me, probably one or two in midfield. But then you've got Ahamada, so maybe only one in midfield, but striker, a fullback, that's probably enough.
Ned, difference of opinion? Add anything to that?
I think that's probably fair enough. I think in terms of what we need is, basically as Dale said, if Ward and Klein are staying, we're not signing anyone else on top of that. We need a striker, which we know, but we're not getting a striker until the ones that we've got disappear, because we're not going to be paying, three or four people who say they're strikers, even if we know that two of them maybe are not. As Dale said, I think someone like a Rakitić, if he comes back, I think it would be a case of if Zaha goes, Ayew pops up, Rakitić becomes that cover, and then you use that sort of salary hole to try and replace Wilf's goals. You're not going to replace Wilf, but you can try and replace his goals with someone who actually plays centre forward. Because, I don't think finding a centre forward who can score us double figures should be unreasonable. I think finding a striker who scores us 20 goals is unreasonable. Finding someone who can hit double figures is absolutely fair enough. And that person is not Jean-Philippe Mateta or Odson Edouard at this stage. I think it's a case of sort of see where we're at the moment, keep doing the business that we've been doing. I think it all depends on if anyone goes. If we lose a Gay, if we lose an Elise, if we lose an Eze or someone like that, then we need to sort of start looking at plugging a hole. I think if we do lose those players, it's not a case of we're going to be able to sign someone of that ilk. It's going to be a case of we promote what we've got into that, and then we re-sign the depth, and that's how we're going to sort of be able to build going forward. So you lose a Gehi, you get a Chris Richards comes in to try and play a bit more, and you sign someone else to be that third choice and hope that one of them keeps pushing and pushing and pushing. And if they happen to, be a superstar, fantastic. But I think that's sort of the way we look like we're going to go, which is about finding, a manager who's going to put all that together. I think as Dale said, if it's Roy, it's because we haven't got a load of people lining up. I think they'll have a couple of people in mind, and if those people say no, I think Roy's there as a fairly safe, as we've always said, just an option to go, all right, well, he's got him firing on all cylinders at the moment. If we can milk that for another 6 to 12 months while we try and find that extra person, great. But hopefully that person is floating around somewhere, and we can convince them that, hey, look at the back end of our year. It's a pretty exciting group. They can play some attacking decent football when they are given the opportunity. Can give it a go.
How about you, TK?
Yeah, I mean, we've been saying the same thing every year, and I don't want to repeat what everyone's been saying. I guess my sort of worry, my fear is if we lose Wilf and don't have a suitable replacement on that side, that does that give the freedom that we have at the moment with Eze and Elise as well? And that's just such an important part of the way we play. So I'd be really keen if Wilf does go to get someone really suitable on that side as well. So if we have those three attackers, I just don't think Ayew's got it in him to sort of, keep a few defenders busy the entire game.
I would like to think that they have a list of targets which they will press the, if in case of emergency, break glass, scenario if Will doesn't sign. Wilf.
Jesus, he hates him that much. He's calling him by a new name. He's already moved on. I think
in terms of we've also looked at, you've got Rexaki on the books. You've got Ebue on the books. The players that they've looked at to try and look for long-term players in that sort of area mold space. Yeah.
We're a few years off, aren't we?
No, but sorry?
We're probably a few years off those two being.
Sure. But if you use Jordan Ayew for 12 months while they're still developing, it's not like we've had Will for the last couple of games. And it's not as if Eze and Elise have suddenly, dried up your goal involvements while he's been gone. So long term, I agree. But
I think we're still I'll just jump in there. I'll come to you in a second, Marky Mark. If Wilf does go, I think it's almost absolutely we need a centre forward, no doubt about it. But I think it is absolutely vital we replace him. I don't think we can go in to a season with Jordan Ayew as the first choice there. Don't get me wrong, he's been great at the end of the season. I think he's had a decent season. I just don't think he's the answer, as Tony rightly said, that Eze and Elise playing together fantastic. But if you have Eze, Elise and Wilf, if they double up on two of them, one of them's going to have space. If that's what was happening. One of them was having space. If they double up on Elise, double on an Eze, and you've got Jordan Ayew as the third option, we've seen what he does when he gets into the final third. It's not great. He does everything else really well, but then he gets at last that decision making. Does he have a shot? Does he pass? Does he do neither? Normally, it's neither. So,
and Wilf's a big game player as well. You don't see Ayew just tearing up Liverpool or whatever, but Wilf's getting goals against Man City and Man United and all that sort of stuff. And, we need to pick up points in those games.
Absolutely. So I think it's very important indeed to replace him. And rumour has it, and going to Dale's mate Fabrizio, apparently we've bid for Sunderland's Jack Clark. There's a bid in there from us and a couple of others. And
is Sunderland he trying
to... I believe he is. I'm not
sure that quite goes by transfer policy.
I know. I've heard, yes. That's a... they're losing two in Macca and Lucas. They have to keep the quota.
One in.
Exactly. There's a quota system, so they have to bring someone in. Mark, what are your thoughts? Who do you want ins and outs?
That much sums up the boys. I said really, I don't have anything groundbreaking to add. Obviously, there's a few moving parts to play out. Will he stay or will he go? Some mixed messages there too with the big, Muriel thing on the side of house. Does that mean, is that like an homage in departure or is that
look how much we love you.
Him staying, it's kind of got a foot in each camp. So that's kind of got to play out. Rexaki, probably the option of get him out on loan in the championship for a season and bring him up through the ranks or, if need be, blood him in and get him into the first team. Could be a couple new academy guys coming through. I suspect with the academy, we will start to see more come out of that. Obviously, that's still in its reasonable infancy there. I'd like to see a bit more of Hughes. He was looking good towards the end there. Well, he was great becoming a bit of a cult figure, possibly getting his first Premier League goal the last day of the season. So that was pretty cool. Jordan is obviously not someone to be trusted up front near goal. He does the rest pretty well, as Tony said. And I think, like Benteke, I've just rationaled him to just be a holding forward. And that's it. And then if he bags 3-4 goals a season, cool. But he'll do like nonsense, dirty work stuff in the middle that he does really well and seems to enjoy it, despite the look on his face when he does it. So I don't know. I mean, I couldn't name your players to come in. There's still a bit of water to go under the bridge to see which way we roll. Manager wise is obviously something that needs attending to. But as everyone said, if everyone we ask says no, we could certainly do a lot worse for ourselves than to have Hodgson for another season, particularly if he picks up where he left off. And, all the boys seem to like playing for him. Roy for another season. We'll let Postecoglou work out he can't do anything with Celtic in the Champions League, and then he goes, fuck, it's probably right, I do head to South London, and gets the gig for the following season. That's how that's going to play out.
He's currently $2.88 favourite for the Spurs job.
Ah, no one
wants
that.
That's a terrible gig.
I reckon that $2.88 is only in Australian betting markets.
£2, so yeah, you're right.
It's getting more and more inches in columns over here, but maybe that's just because it's Australian. But don't know.
I think the Spurs are just sidetracked for a second. I think the Spurs manager's job might be one of the worst jobs going at the moment. They are literally Harry Kane as a world class player and 10 average players.
I think it all depends on who you get in as the manager. If you get who's got big grand plans to turn him into Barcelona, the North London Barcelona, it won't work. If you get someone who's relatively functional, almost like a Potter, I think you'll get a decent tune out of that side.
Yeah, not at the risk of turning into a Spurs podcast. I think if Postecoglou is the type of manager that potentially could do okay there, the reason the last couple have had is you've got the fans and Daniel Levy going, we want to play attacking football. Get in the most pragmatic, boring defensive managers we can find because they're well-known names. Oh, what? It didn't work. That's a surprise. Yeah. I think that someone like a Postecoglou would at least have everyone on the same page because he would be playing attractive football.
They don't have the team to do it, though. They don't have the team to play that football.
But Postecoglou's turned not the team to do it into teams that can do it basically everywhere he's been.
Anyway.
Very much off topic now, anyway.
Yeah, well, I think the risk range, though, is if you're trying to make a reputation, going to Spurs can completely burn your reputation.
100%. Yeah. It's a risk, but that's what he does. He goes to places where he gets written off straight away at the start.
Celtic.
At the time, they were absolutely shot. He went to a club in Japan that nearly got relegated, won the league. He went to Celtic when they were, 15 points behind Rangers and basically nearly won the treble straight away. The bloke knows how to manage.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
They're career building jobs, right? And you're aiming for the premierships. You don't want to burn yourself in your first premiership.
100%.
100%. Yeah.
But
he's not a mug. He'd be across all that. So, I think he'd get a tune out of him. But, obviously, loving to see him in red and blue. But
I think he'd get a better tune out of us, Mark, red and blue.
Yeah, me too.
Completely half red and completely half blue is what we want to say.
We're not talking about that. But
I'm saying it more and more every time I see it.
I think it's awful. But it's a nice little segue because I think the most important thing that we start doing now is signing players for a system and appointing a manager for that system. Because what we don't want to do is sign your Eze's and your Lises and a lot of those type of players and bring in Conte. Because it's chalk and cheese, right? So we need to take a leaf out. Look, I know we don't want to talk about it, but the way Brighton do it is they sign a player, they have a system and they have the players for that system and they put a manager that works to that system. And I think that's the way we've got to go about it for me personally. So we shall see. One thing I want to say that it's gone under the radar before I do the look at the predictions review is everyone says, like, what if we lose a Gehi, an Elise, or Eze? Like, which one of the three would we lose? Decore is only 22 and has been unbelievable as player of the season, and no one talks about him. Like,
signed
him for 17. We signed him for 17 mil. He's doubled in value easy.
They said in the commentary in the Forest game, they said that he would have, that his performances this season would have alerted clubs higher up. But that just goes to the nature of sport, right? The person who gets the headlines is not the person who does the cover tackles in centre mid. It's the person who does the step over and the Rabona and scores the worldie free kick last minute. Like, it's not the workhorse in centre mid. They don't really get noticed unless they are a Casemiro or a Modric or a Cruz, right?
Yeah. So West Ham, for example, Declan Rice, exact same position. They're saying he's a £100 million footballer. If Declan Rice is £100 million, What's the Corey?
Well, he can't shoot for starters, and Declan Rice can. So
he scored a belting goal against West Ham. It just wasn't counted because there's a dive and he won a penalty.
That knocks about 20 million off his value straight away.
I'll take 80.
He's not English, so that knocks another 20 million off his value. So that's already 60 mil. I reckon if we try to sell him now, we'll sell him for 35 mil. Ned, no.
Just sounded like you were telling him off there. Ned, put it away. Yeah. Don't put it back.
You'll get COVID like the day.
Can't tell me to put it away, Tony. No one else can see it. It's purely for your enjoyment.
Well, look, Ned, you were last on, so you had to bring the predictions. That's the rules. I don't make them. That's just the rules, mate. Sorry about that.
I was intending to until I was late.
That's all right.
To your point, Rob, I would say it's unusual for a player to go after just one season, which is why I think this year, but he probably will be next year.
I'd say so. I mean, all right, whilst Ned Fanny's around, if you can take one player from a relegated club, once you've got Leeds, Southampton, Leicester, one player from a relegated club, who'd you go for? Dale.
Oh.
This means you need to know all their squads immediately.
Yeah.
I can see Tone on his phone looking at their squads.
Madison?
Realistic. We don't get James fucking Madison.
You just turn around. If you can take any one player from any squad, who would
a realistic, be? A realistic option. A realistic option from any of their squads.
Oh, this one would be controversial. Patrick Bamford.
Fuck off.
Oh. Oh, I mean,
what are you talking about?
Not only is it controversial, we need a striker.
I couldn't name any from the other two clubs who isn't either 50 years old or Nigerian.
Oh, yeah, Dale's not allowed Nigerians, but I mean.
No, I'm being facetious. I'd probably try and find the best striker out of the lot. If they've got someone who can score a few goals, I'd take them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what happened to the Blackburn striker that we were looking at that went to Southampton? Did he have a shocker this year? I didn't really hear his name.
Armstrong. He never played. I think he's one of those players that's very good in the champ. Dwight Gayle. Brilliant in the champ. Not quite Premier. We'll score a few, but he's
Robert
not
Earnshaw esque.
Yeah. He's not a player we need. He's not a player we need. Mark, go on. One player realistic from the relegated lot.
Oh. Harry Suter.
Oh mate.
We have the worst team in the Premier League at this rate.
Patrick Bamford up front. Harry Suter, who was undoubtedly one of the worst defenders I've ever seen. That he was fucking. He was done.
Man of the match there, second last.
Inside out by Jean-Philippe Mateta. I mean, say no more. Tony, right, please. Put some sanity on this rubbish.
I only watched him at the World Cup up against the likes of El Messi and co.
He played well against El Messi.
Did it with the leg in the air.
But then he couldn't handle Jean-Philippe Mateta. Something's not. The world's square.
Fair,
I don't get it.
Mateta's a lot less predictable than Messi. Even Mateta doesn't know what he's about to do.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What chances
are Tony, bring some normality
well,
to this.
I had to look it up because I remember there was a guy that played for Southampton that was class, Lavia.
Oh, yeah, he's very good.
The times I've seen him, he's looked really good.
Mm, he's very good. Ned?
Well, if we're looking at positions that we need, potentially, if we were to lose a Wilf, maybe someone like a Harvey Barnes, potentially.
He'd be a good signing, too.
Would be good, potentially a little bit above our pay grade, possibly. He might be one that goes a little higher, but we could definitely do worse, or even like a Dewsbury Hall or someone from, I think Leicester's the one to probably raid if we're looking for quality. Clearly, haven't got the fight, but if we're looking just for quality only, I reckon that's the club to hit up.
I'm torn between Kyle Walker-Peters or Iheanacho. They're my two. They're my two top of the list. Proven centre forward, he would score goals for us, and a guy that can play right back and left back. They're my two. I don't know which one.
Have them both.
Yeah. And also, obviously, Patrick Bamford is my third choice. Obviously.
Yeah.
I would sign Patrick Bamford purely so we can just sit him on the bench or play him in like the under 23s and just be like, no, you can't play.
Don't even play him in the under 23s. Literally just going to pay him not to play
football. All right, now everyone's favourite part where we listen to how much we know about football from pre-season, and we're going to relive our predictions. I believe Dale has done some research and actually has our predictions there. I'm keen. I reckon I win. So what was it we were doing? Like top goal scorer, most assists.
No. So the first one we did was...
I'll just hand over to Dale. Rock and roll,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah. So first thing we did was finishing position. And I was going to spend some time today at work to actually make a nice little table and give us points based on how close we were, but I didn't. So I just read it out. So
cool story, right?
So Ned, you had us at 10th. You actually said 10th or 11th, but because I was apparently too negative, you said 10th. I had us at 12th. Tony had us at 13th. Mark had us 10th.
Oof.
Rob had us 8th or 9th. He went with 9th and said, you know, we're going to finish 9th and Elise is going to leave and Gerby's going to go to the World Cup. So 50% wrong so far. So we'll see. And then from the listeners, we had, you mentioned in the pod, we had Fox Sports AU had us 9th or potentially jagging 8th. So they were wrong. Alex from Sydney, don't know if he's a mate of anyone's, had us finishing 7th. And Trevor Stone, whose name pops up a fair bit, one of the Brisbane Mob, I believe,
yeah,
had us finishing 17th.
Oh. ever confident Trev.
Yeah, so I think in theory, Ned, Mark and myself probably get the chocolates there.
Just more importantly, Rob loses is what we're saying, yeah?
Yes, Rob lost.
We win, Rob loses.
That one. Yep, next.
top goal scorer. This is good. So, Tony, myself, Ned and Rob all had Wilf. Tony, 15 goals, myself, 12. Ned, high teens, close to 20. And Rob, 17. Ned, I think you had been blinded by pre-season friendlies against awful teams and went with that. So, in theory, I was the closest. I think he finished with 6. But Mark, maybe Jean-Philippe Mateta with 12 goals.
Is that worth calling Connor Wickham? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Which is very much what we mentioned in the pod was these awful Connor Wickham suggestions. One thing I will say your defence, Mark, is JPM arguably scored the most important goal of the Hodgson era. So
that's it.
Have some credit for that one, I suppose.
Yeah, man, I'll take it.
It can't be worse than Connor Wickham because he said Connor Wickham with like 20. Connor Wickham played 20 minutes.
Connor Wickham is awesome.
It's an easy sort of bit of confusion to make when sometimes Mark mishears things and he thinks we're talking about goals and he accidentally spouts out how many minutes they're going to play and all of a sudden that's where we sort of get to. So
close.
Yeah.
We forgive you.
Next, we had assists. I put a note here. Everyone mocked at the number of assists Eze would get. Don't know what that means. Tony and myself both had Elise. Elise was top with, sorry, we shouldn't say really goals. Eze was top goal scorer with 10, I believe.
Okay.
So assists, Michael Elise was top assists with, I think also with 10. I had 6 for him. Tony, you had 7 for him. So Tony, you take the chocolates. The fans, then we have fans. Predominantly said Eze and a few said Elise. Rob said Eze with 7, not going nuts with 11. Well, we asked, quoting what you said in the podcast, so it means nothing. Mark, you had Eze with 11, and Ned, okay, you had Wilf with 6.
How many assists did Wilf get? Have we looked that up?
He got 3, I think.
At least accurately guess how many assists he got.
No, I think he got 3.
Close enough.
Okay. Well, not really, no. But...
I'm not sure that's how that works.
Yeah.
Six is a multiple of 3, so that's good enough for me.
Right, spot the teacher.
Yeah.
All right, coming on to player of the season. Now, last year there was some controversy, if you remember correctly, because I said...
Every player in the squad, you said last year.
Incorrect. I picked Mark Gerhey and Conor Gallagher, and they were both players' player and fans' player of the year. So we didn't actually decide what player of the season we were going to go for.
Players' player of the season.
And why would that be, Tony?
I just think that should be the rule.
So, you know, players of the season were Cheick Doucouré and Michael Olise. Tony went Michael Olise. I, much to everyone's surprise, said Wilfred Zaha. See, the one year I picked the bastards, look what happens. Mark went with Olise. And the only reason you went with Olise was because everyone was going to go for Wilf and you wanted to be a bit different. So well done, okay, for being different.
And I couldn't go for Conor Wickham anymore either. So forced my hand.
What, Joel Ward? Ned went for Wilf. Rob went for Mark Gerhey. Trevor Stone went for Cheick Doucouré. Bold shout.
Yeah,
well, redeemed himself.
And some guy called Richard went for Conor Gallagher. So,
bold call.
Assuming he just thought we were going to sign him at the end of the window. So, unlucky.
Just before we continue, can I just confirm here? So Rob has still not won anything yet?
Correct. You mean the guy who doesn't watch any of our matches, just the highlights. And
no,
I believe the 3-minute one.
I believe, I can't remember which game it was, but you all remember the conversation on the WhatsApp when he turned around and goes, oh, it looks like we absolutely battered him. It's like
Brentford.
Yeah, Brentford. No, mate, not at all. And you're like, well, I looked like that on the highlights.
I was in Singapore and I couldn't get the full match for some reason. It wouldn't work. I watched a 20-minute one, but the highlights were us.
Mate, let's not get racist with Singaporeans now, mate. We're trying to build that fan base.
That took a turn.
Duds of the year. All right, Mark. You went with Luca and Chris Richards. And regarding Chris Richards, you said he'll be an absolute fizzer and everyone will be scratching their heads about why we got him.
Yeah, I'll stand by that.
Oh, I am still scratching my head as to why we got him. We've never played him. Tony, didn't quite... You were close. Vinny G to come under pressure. Palace fans love players who aren't playing, and Sammy Johnson will come in after a few mistakes. I think you said by Christmas, so close but not quite.
Far off. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's good. And Ned and I were very quick to, or Ned was very quick to point out that we made note of Vinny G and his issues. So well done to us. Ned had Luca and Odson Edward, in case you haven't noticed throughout the season, everyone. Ned doesn't rate Odson Edward.
He's beating that drum, that's for sure.
And that drum has been well and truly justified.
Rob Seltzer, you might be on the board here. He went with Jean-Philippe Mateta. He said, Mateta doesn't look great, but he does score goals. That's what Ned Rock said. So, incorrect.
That is gospel.
Who did score more goals out of Edouard and Mateta?
Edouard.
Edouard, sure.
Oh,
What's the score? 3-2.
I feel like it wasn't. It's not like it was a sort of overwhelming victory to Ireland.
Yeah, because Edouard didn't go on a run. He scored 3-3 or something. Then he got dropped randomly, and then he got another. Then he scored against. I think he got 5 or 6. And
let me have a look. I'd have a feeling that they probably failed to cover the spread anyway.
I'd say so. I'd go for the under. Certainly go for the under.
In fairness, Odson Edouard got 5. Jean-Philippe Mazzetti got 2.
Okay. I think we can agree they're both shit. But I'm happy to accept that Mazzetti was worse.
Oh, and Ned, just so you know, Wilfried Zaha got 2 assists, not 3. Apologies. I was getting confused with Jordan Ayew.
Look, 6 is still a multiple of 2, so I stand by my theory.
Okay.
Theory still holds up.
I had Jimmy Mack, who ultimately only played, I think I played in 61 minutes for us this season, so I definitely claim that as a bit of a dud. Trevor Stone, Mark's mate, had Joel Ward.
Can't have that.
Having words with the next bloody drink we have.
Yeah, and Sean Robb had Joachim Anderson. So I think we can give... Yeah, awful call. we can give Celts a point now, I think. So, and if anyone's playing along at home, Celts has his first point. Tony has 3.
Yeah. Is that divisible by 3? Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I've got 2. Ned's probably got 1. And Mark's got 1.
Feels like Tony wins the vibe.
Outlandish prediction time. Haven't checked to see if this happened.
I've got a big problem with this, but because I remember mine, I've got a big problem with it. Carry on.
Yeah, you have got a big problem with it. It's going to be an argument about yours, Pete. Mark had Joel Ward to score a League Cup goal.
Ooh, one lucky.
Yeah.
Got a league goal. Scored.
And he did a lovely Zidane 360. So, you know, I mean, that's as good as a goal. So we'll take that.
Yeah.
I had Leicester to go down.
Ooh. Oh, well done.
Yeah, but I also had 30 plus games for Nathan Ferguson.
I've remembered mine now. Yeah.
You remember yours. I had Wilf to be at Brighton on a 3, which could still happen, and Johnson to be our number 1. So there you go. Ned had Nathan Ferguson to go
was
the
done
whole
by the end of week 1.
Yeah, you had him to go the whole season uninjured.
literally week 1, that one died. That one died before the podcast went to air.
Great.
You had us losing the FA Cup quarterfinal to Man City with Wilf missing the all-important penalty.
That was a bold call.
Well, Wilf, as we saw, probably would have missed the all-important penalty. So, Rob. So here we go. You gave us loads. You did have Mauricio Pochettino to replace Thomas Tuchel in the first 2 months of the season.
Well, first 2 months of the season is a no, so that's wrong.
Yeah.
And the next, this is the one that caused, what is going to cause the consternation, because you even said at the time, oh, I don't think we should do this. You had a Palace player on loan, or one of ours at the club, will be in a team of the year in the respective league they're playing at. Now, obviously, you're going to go with...
Jezrin Redzepi.
Jezrin.
Yeah. So, you're right, but at the time, we basically were wanting to go with that, so unlucky, no point.
Wow. That is fucking harsh.
Make me the host. It's my rules. Giordo had his outlandish conviction was that Adelaide meetup will happen, and by all accounts, it happened. Some of the others, most of the ones are Palace to not beat anyone in the top 6, but will beat everyone who is relegated.
Oh, who made that?
I didn't take their name.
Right.
Not important. but yeah, I mean,
really endearing himself to the listeners today.
Did we beat everyone who was relegated?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leeds. Yeah. So yeah, well done. Someone else had Vieira and Wilf to go. So one down, one to go.
Half point.
Someone else had Joel Water banging more than one header. Again, he did a Zidane 360, so that counts. And the last one was Harry from Melbourne was going to get a drum and set up a splinter group of the Holmesdale fanatics called the White Horse Lane Wallies. Ned and TK, did that happen?
If it has, I haven't heard it.
No.
Never say never.
There you go. So those are our predictions. Right. I think it's fair to say, all in all, we didn't do too bad this year.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
And now
a million miles away.
To Rob Seltzer.
Well, yeah, I think we did really well. And the Jesmyn Ratzecki one was a great shout by me. So that's worth at least 15 points. So well done. Another win for the Celts. Okay, now we come to our final Aussie chat. And I do have something to add in Aussie chat, if you don't mind me starting, boys. Then I'll hand over to Mark and Ned. So has everyone seen the Jimmy Mack leaving video?
Yeah.
Nope.
All the players? Well, watch it, because Scott Guyatt's in it. Firstly, he takes over the whole thing and speaks for about an hour and a half. You're like, mate, this isn't about you. Secondly, Jimmy Mack got him some whiskey when he left, and he pours the smallest amount of whiskey you've ever seen poured in your life, has a sip of the smallest amount of whiskey you've ever seen poured in your life, and then, like, accidentally big bollocks. Scott Guyatt, sort your life out. That is my Aussie. That is my Aussie thing there. Atrocious.
Friend of the pod.
When was he last on?
Not him, mate.
We ain't going to be now.
Good. I will not be associated with that. That was abysmal. Anyway.
All right, you'll have to sit that episode out. TK, we'll have you back for that one.
that and the Roy Hodgson one, I assume.
Yeah.
All right, so let's hand over to our resident Aussies to take us through some Aussie chat.
Yeah, right. Ned, do you want to you hook in, mate? I think I kicked off last time.
Yeah, easy. I think only sort of bits of Aussie chat at the moment. Obviously, we've got the men's grand final this weekend. No one really cares about it, so who gives a shit?
What are you talking about? My Central Coast Mariners are there, mate.
Yeah, Celts will be there, front and centre.
Central Coast Mariners are there, but everyone's boy. But we're all on the boycott bandwagon, apart from the Mariners fans. After the final was sold to Sydney and were promised a festival of football, which has turned out to be a few food trucks 30 k's away and a five-a-side featuring some massive names like David Zdrilic and among others. So that's a not-to-be-missed event. I'm sure we will all be getting down to that.
Do you remember the Sneaky Sound System song UFO? I saw a UFO, believe me. The Sydney FC fans used to sing "I saw a Zrilich goal, but nobody believed me."
Always
a good one.
So I mean, I think he's the draw card of that festival of football, which I'm sure will be riveting. Otherwise, closing in on the Women's World Cup, which will be fantastic to have down here, and the only other bit is Ange Postecoglou potentially linking himself to Spurs, which we spoke about briefly earlier. So I don't think there's a whole lot more to add on that. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. Marky Mark, have I stolen it all, or have you got some pearls of wisdom to throw our way?
I seldomly have pearls of wisdom, mate. But, some whispers on this very pod group chat about Postecoglou to Spurs, which we might get the author of that to chime in with. And a bit in regards to obvious stuff, just the A-League Grand Final, mate, obviously, that you've mentioned going around this weekend. Talking of Ange, he's managing Celtic to go for the treble, I think, at 2 o'clock Sunday morning against Inverness from memory. So let's see if he can jag that. And then, other than that, just Sam Kerr popping up and I think bagging a goal in the last game of the season to ensure Chelsea, what, two or three titles on the bounce? I know they've got a couple of FA Cups on the bounce. Four, is it? Okay, yeah. So doing it with the leg in the air over there and then just count down to the World Cup, mate. Yeah, so, yeah, not much else to add other than that. And, yeah, Dale, do you want to tell us your sources, mate, for that comment you made earlier?
The Ange one?
Yeah.
Yeah, mate, I think it was like Daily Mail or something. It was just on Facebook. It was some football page, and it just said that he's going. And then I checked the odds, and yeah, he was slashed. Well, I'll say slashed. He was 2.88 yesterday, and 172 today. So.
On the Australian bookies, who clearly just know that that's the only name.
First, I saw the odds actually. I texted my mates in England, the Spurs fans, we were talking about it yesterday, and one of them goes, "Oh yeah, look at these odds; they've come in massively." So on the UK site as well. So, yeah.
I still hate Aussie bookies because when remember Luke Harris had the inside on Pardew.
We couldn't put a bet on.
There was no market. You couldn't find it here at all. Couldn't put a bet on anywhere, and I was going to whack on ton.
So like,
just lump on big.
Yeah, but that's also like when we all went and put money on Sean Dyche to be manager as well, mate.
I didn't. I put money on some other knob that didn't get it.
Oh no, you put money on Love Island on the
MasterChef, wasn't it?
No, MasterChef. That was a lot.
You're welcome.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
I put a chunk on that. That was bad intel.
Yeah, it's awful intel. You're welcome. But yeah, that Pardew, I just never forget that. When couldn't get it on, the next day woke up and it was done.
Yeah,
like, it's really like you what? It was 100-1 in England, apparently. When we were trying to put that, we were trying to put it on at 100. It was 100-1 in the UK because like Newcastle were third, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and we were rock bottom, and Luke's like, "Yeah, he's done. I've got someone that works here." And he's like, "Yeah, this is the whole thing." We're like, "Fuck, he's on. I'm gonna go retire. I'm gonna go retire."
Trying to find somebody there.
Bastards.
Don't worry.
Well, still working, and I so it didn't work. All right, fellas, anything else before we wrap up our final pod of the season?
I would like to say one more thing, because we didn't really mention it in the ins and outs, is obviously big shout-out to Macca and Luca.
Yeah.
Just
absolutely
great players, great servants to the club.
Yeah. Big listeners
of the pod.
What's that?
Big listeners of the pod. They'll really appreciate that too. So that's good.
And also, just wanted to say, like, just in case he goes, like, just props to Wilf as well, right?
Oh,
like,
man. I'm not ready for that.
Say props to Wilf, Dale. Go on.
Listen, I've made my feelings known. We want to keep him. Of course, we want to keep him. And it would be a damn shame if he goes. And like every other Palace fan, if he goes, he goes with our blessing, but he better go overseas because I would hate to see him against Joel Ward.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah, he might look a fool, wouldn't he, by Ward?
Yeah. That would be embarrassed by Ward.
I think. yeah, look, Jimmy Mack, yeah, as you rightly said, Tony, what a player. I mean, I think there's been a lot of recency bias with Luca, but for two or three seasons, he was the mainstay of our midfield. Without him, we were in a lot of trouble.
He
was in a lot of trouble without Luca.
Everything our club didn't have at that time, which was a leader, a hard man, someone who didn't take a backward step. And he came in. He was, I mean,
superb.
Yeah.
He was an upgrade on Jedi, you know, and Jedi was, you know, being our sort of team of the century. So,
he was
there for a few years.
And oh man, I'm not ready for if Wilf doesn't sign that contract. Oh god.
Well, just quickly, just like, what do you reckon then? Because the mural is it a thank you? Is it a goodbye?
I mean,
there's talks of Saudi Arabia.
It's a bit of both. It's very much hedging our bets. It's a hey, look at how much we love you and what we'll do for you. You should sign the contract. But then if he doesn't, we can still, you know, just say, oh, it's an homage to our best ever player. It's a thank you. So you can sort of hedge your bets. Unless he goes to Brighton, in which case there's a lot of white paint's going to be required.
Well, no, but then one of our outlandish predictions is correct. So we should be happy. I just
and get a point.
Such, Yeah, and get a point. It's such a tough one, though, like, because, you know, you go through the big six and you keep Chelsea in that. He's not going to any of them. But I just cannot see him going to those clubs. And then after that, it's all much of a muchness. Unless he's going to France or Germany, or he does decide to throw on my boots and go to Saudi Arabia, I just stay. You're never going to want for money. It's not like money is going to be the issue. He's, you know, bar a blip of Man United and Cardiff, he's ours, right? He's just, it's where he belongs.
Agree.
I think one stab at Champions League, I'd love to see him lining up in a Champions League team. He just doesn't seem like the sort of dude that would settle in another country.
I reckon he'd go right in France. Like, he speaks French, though.
Does he speak French, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, he speaks French. It's fairly widely known, I think, that he speaks French.
I've never heard him speak a word of French.
Why would he speak French to the Palace TV?
But he gets...
Talk to us in French, you dirty dog.
But it gets mentioned, and he would do interviews in other languages. Like, he's done interviews for Ivorian FA and stuff, and that's not been in French, and you think it would be.
How often do you watch his Ivorian interviews?
I've watched a couple. It's just come on my YouTube because he takes you down the Anglia and Palace stuff. I'm not saying he doesn't. I assumed he spoke a bit of French, but
yeah, I think he speaks French, so that would be the move.
We all speak a bit of French, but you know,
yeah, but it's like saying I speak Ghanaian. People would assume I do because my dad's very Ghanaian, but I don't. I just say like 10 words, and that's about it. So I just
the Ghanaian national team though.
Jeffrey Schluck does, and I bet he doesn't. Well, he doesn't anymore, but he doesn't speak any. I mean,
but he's the best left back in Africa.
Yes,
that was ridiculous.
Apparently,
yeah, we're getting off topic.
Yeah,
we're moving along.
The Will
stop
thing.
Boring the listeners and let them go home.
Nah, mate. The Will thing. Have you seen how many people read into things like it's the Mural, he's leaving. Parrish was talking to him for 15 minutes on the pitch, he's staying, but didn't look like he was interested. He's leaving. He didn't clap the fans properly, he's leaving. But he clapped them so much, he's definitely staying. And I was just like, oh my fucking God.
It's hilarious, isn't it?
Well, we'll miss him, whatever, you know. He's been such a massive part of our recent history and everything we've done in the last 10 years. You know, Parrish has been amazing, but whatever he's done, he wouldn't have been able to do without having
that Will
pitch, you know.
We wouldn't be there.
No, exactly. And like we might not even be chatting, right? Because had Palace not gone to the Premier League, we might not set up
footballers,
clubs, you know, the whole last 10 years experience really is down to him.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's mad.
By what you're saying, Tony, is I've got Wilf to blame for having to speak to Rob Seltzer on a semi-regular basis.
Well, hold on, semi-regular. This is probably the most irregular thing you've ever done.
Semi irregular.
Still too often. I'm joining Dale on Team Anti Wilf if that's the reason.
Speaking of being irregular, what model of car are you coming to us live from, Ned, at the moment?
it's just one that I thought I'd give your cat burgling a crack, Mark. So
yeah.
I don't want to identify myself in case anyone is listening and sees me. So
okay.
can't be doing that in my wonderfulness in X-Trail.
Right. Oh, the smart money's on Hyundai XL, but yeah. Anyway.
Hopefully that's our new sponsor.
Have you looked outside your door or outside your window? Because Ned's taken your car and he's currently doing his burglaries in your car. So
he's already got the tools for it.
Exactly. All right, fellas. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure after another season, apart from you, Ned. Here we go. We've got, 2 months? 2 months we do it again. Something like that. August it starts again, doesn't it? Christ.
Yeah, we'll do a saddle up and do a pre-season. We'll have plenty of bloody news notes and quotes to mill over between now and then, no doubt.
Just do it now. 11th or 12th, right back in the left back.
Back in Elise. Yeah.
Right, so.
Elise is a 12th. And an outlandish prediction, we'll sack our manager halfway through the season.
And will Wolf go?
Yeah, Charles Ward, top scorer.
We'll do our pre-season prod and prediction 16 games into the season, as perfectly timed as we always do.
We'll try and get it a bit more regular next season, listeners. That's, I think
Don't make promises. Don't make promises. Yeah,
that's Mark's outlandish prediction already.
I was going to say, that's like Mark's outlandish prediction.
We were poor at best this season, let's face it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the World Cup's fault.
Yeah, that's it.
That's true. Put us all on track.
Well, all left to say is thank you very much, fellas. Tony, Dale, Mark, Ned. Been a pleasure as always. Do it again, starting again in a couple of months. And up the palace. Ned, you got the predictions?
I do not. The only way I would get those is by listening to a version of the pod. So
Are you doing predictions? Sorry, I just muted you for a second because I was just trying to listen to the old pod to get some.
Yeah, so what I just said, Dale, was yes, I said I've got the predictions. I've just gone through them, and yours were all terrible. Unfortunately, so, I think that's pretty much what I was just saying.
The only ones,
I'm sure the rest of us will back. The rest will back me up there.
The only ones I've
predicted the contrary. All of Dale's tips were wrong.
If you want to carry on listening, we can do Aussie stuff. Mark and Ned can do some Aussie stuff, and then you can go back to listen and see if you get some more.
No.
If you've chosen, well done. Well done.
No.
I know my
that's
flop.
That's the second time today that one of the hosts of this podcast has refused to admit to listening to any of the absolute rubbish that we put out. So that's a positive. A re-endorsement.
I do listen to them all back, but I just don't listen again.
And I'll cut this wonderfully exciting chat that we've just had for the last couple of minutes that effectively just tells our listeners how incompetent we are. we can edit that little bit out and maybe pop that at the back end as a sort of bonus extra.
Yeah. Well, Ned, if you can edit 3.5 hours of Patonk into 12 minutes of thrilling listening. I think you're across it, mate.
It's a gift that I have. What can I say?
That'd be cool.
Well, how good is this? No Ned.
Yeah. Hey. That's it.
That's Ned.
That's it.
Rip into him.
What a substitution.
Yeah. I've been waiting years for this. Years. And now it's happened.
Find one load.